You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network headquarters here in Austin, Texas. It is Thursday, the 21st of May, 2026, and I got a lot of news for you today. Some major updates on the Iran war. A new agreement has apparently been inked. We'll get you all the latest about that. Some breaking news. We'll cover that in just a second. Also, some pretty major moves by the DOJ today against fraud in Minnesota and elsewhere. We'll show you some very good videos from that. Just a lot of big news. Taking your calls in the third hour as well. This is the latest with the war in Iran. Zero Hedge has the story. Tense Trump Netanyahu call as U.S. presses Iran to sign the document, but Israel wants military green light. According to Axios, Trump continues to say he thinks a deal can be reached, but that he's ready to resume the war if it isn't. U.S. Marines boarded an Iranian-flagged tanker in the Gulf of Oman as it was accused of attempting to violate the U.S. naval blockade. Iran's parliament speaker and chief negotiator Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf says that Tehran sees signs that the United States is seeking to restart the war. Oil prices have tumbled after Pakistan again touts final deal draft text imminent, followed by Trump claiming the U.S. is in the final stages of peace talks with Iran, though Tehran hasn't budged on the nuclear issue. Iran's IRGC Navy says 26 vessels, including oil tankers, container ships, and other commercial vessels, transited in the prior 24 hours in cooperation with Iranian authorities. And we're also learning more about the damage that was done by Iran to American resources in the region. And it was a lot worse than they admitted, just like we told you it was. U.S. and Iran reach a draft agreement with the mediation of Pakistan, that according to Iran's ILNA news agency. They post on their Telegram channel that U.S. and Iran reached an agreement on a draft mediated by Pakistan. They say it's expected to be announced in the next few hours. The draft includes immediate and comprehensive ceasefire on all fronts. The parties mutually undertake to refrain from targeting infrastructure. Freedom of navigation in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz is guaranteed under a joint monitoring mechanism. Sanctions will be gradually lifted in exchange for Iran's compliance with the terms of the deal. Negotiations on outstanding issues shall begin within a maximum of 7 days. Now this is getting more coverage. The risk sentiment improved with stocks rising, oil falling, USD and Treasury yields sliding. A private consultant on X at Basha Reports posted the original version published on Al Arabiya TV. The key provisions include that immediate, comprehensive, unconditional ceasefire, mutual, yeah, so we just read those, guaranteed freedom of navigation in the Gulf, gradual lifting of U.S. sanctions in exchange for Iran's adherence to the terms, affirmation of compliance with international law and the U.N. Charter. The agreement is stated to enter force immediately upon formal announcement by both parties. So that is supposedly on the table. This is not, as I understand it, been announced or confirmed by official state media in Iran or here in America, but this is the story being spread. Draft of U.S.-Iran agreement reportedly reached, but Trump still pressing nuclear issue. Iran president says they won't back down. So it appears as though the nuclear issue is still a bit of a sticking point, one might say. And of course, the new leader of Iran came out today and basically said they will never be giving up the uranium that they've enriched, and that part of the agreement is simply off the table. U.S.-Iran diplomacy intensifies as Trump seeks right answers. Tehran signals gap reduced. So, you know, this would be a good thing. It'd be a good thing for the war to end. It would be a good thing to end the hostilities and get back to a world that can feed itself and make money and isn't on the precipice of all-out global warfare with Pakistan and Israel and Russia and China and America and possibly Iran all aiming nukes at each other. We could get back to, hey, maybe not the time before the war, but like a time slightly worse than we were before the war, because in this agreement, Iran will still have sort of veto power of the Strait of Hormuz. They're keeping their nuclear material. Really, they're getting everything they want because they have, for all intents and purposes, already won this war and did a long time ago. So if this is actually announced and this actually comes to fruition, and we actually are at a permanent end of the Iran war, then maybe it'd be a good time to go back to those shows that we did in the first few days of the Iranian war, where we predicted this exact outcome. Pretty much, like 100% exactly what we thought was going to happen. And I remember saying, probably 4 or 5 days in, maybe a little bit longer, but I made a point of saying, this is it. This is the time when we could throw up our hands and say, whoops, we tried, it didn't work. Never mind. Let's have peace again. And I guarantee you, if we had done that back then, we'd be in a better position than we are now. But we've been waging a senseless on and off war for the last 3 months at this point and achieved absolutely nothing, absolutely less than nothing. We've lost the Strait and empowered the radicals in Iran and done nothing else. So the only real outstanding question is, will Israel allow this? Will they allow it? They have a couple veto options, right? Obviously, the influence they have over the Trump administration still can be wielded. Trump is out here saying, oh, Netanyahu will do whatever I say. It's like, okay, sure. Did he let you say that? It's that type of thing where Trump goes, whatever I say, Benjamin Netanyahu will just have to be okay with. It's like, sir, did you get permission to say that? Did Netanyahu say, Trump, they want to think you're in charge. Go out and tell them that you tell me what to do, okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. It's a little bit pathetic because we just know absolutely and, you know, without question that Trump does absolutely everything Israel does and Israel wants him to and is routinely really humiliated by Israel when he makes very strident statements about no settlements in the West Bank, no bombing Lebanon, you know, a lot of these types of forceful statements that go completely ignored. And Israel just does the exact opposite. And then Trump claims it was his idea, actually, for that to happen. So really just more pathetic lying from Trump. It's very sad. It's a very sad thing to see, but I think we're used to it by now. We're practically used to it. So will Israel allow it? They could just start bombing Lebanon again. That would break the ceasefire. They could bring the blackmail or whatever they have against Trump to bear. There's still lots of ways that Israel could mess this up. And to me, nothing has changed in the actual equation, right? Israel is still on the, you know, cusp of losing everything because of how unpopular they are. As in, it's a matter of time. There's not going to be much, if anything, they could do in the next 10 years to stop the tidal wave of anti-Israel sentiment in the younger generation. So they'll be cut off from American aid within the next decade. They've gambled everything on this. They're basically annexing large portions of Gaza in, once again, flagrant disregard to the promises that they made in the ceasefire agreements and the just endless lies from their, you know, state propaganda about how this was never their intention and they never wanted to do this. They're not even really claiming that anymore. They're just outright admitting that it's all just cynical material seizing of land for their own people. It's nothing. There's nothing higher order about it. No, you know, deeper motive pushing them. Just pure cynical mercenary theft of land. So will they allow this to happen? I don't know. I really don't know because, you know, what's going to happen if that's the case? Iran's going to start to rebuild. They're going to be able to rebuild. I mean, they already are rebuilding their missile program. What was destroyed, even though we're not even really sure too much of it was destroyed with the latest information that we're getting. So Iran's going to rebuild everything that has been destroyed. Obviously, now it's going to be on an even more aggressive war footing. They've shown they have the ability to shut down the Strait at any point, so that'll always be a bullet in their chamber, a card in their hand that they can play at any point. If this ends with Iran getting what they want, retaining the uranium, not really, you know, giving up anything in terms of control over any land or the Strait or anything like that, it's just a matter of time. I guess it's just a matter of time because all that's going to happen is Iran is going to rebuild, Israel is going to rebuild, and we're going to gear up for the next round. Only this time, Iran will, you know, hopefully have a little bit more of that, you know, a little bit more power to, you know, stop them from being bombed relentlessly and just let them know. You know, it's really what's said. This is just an extended period that we've taken, whatever, 80 days, 90 days to get here, but it could all be summed up in about a 30-second video of the big bully poking the little kid until the little kid finally just grabs the bully's ankle and drops him on his back and body slams him. That's basically where we're at, is for several decades, really, but certainly the last several years, Israel's been sort of poking Iran, jabbing Iran, bombing their diplomats, bombing their graduation ceremonies, overthrowing their allies in the region. And finally, Iran just went, okay, we're hitting back now, slapped him across the face, and now we're at that standoff where Israel's going, oh, crap, they fought back for the first time, and that hurt. That actually hurt a little bit, and I'm not sure we want to do that again, but if we stop fighting now, they might actually only get more powerful. What do we do here? So yeah, just if you just slowed this video down to where it took 90 days to watch, that's essentially the metaphor. That's where we're at. And so, you know, the bully's kind of been given a bloody nose, and it's sort of a dangerous position to be in, because I genuinely do not think that Israel can like survive not being at war over this stuff. I mean, what's going to happen? Netanyahu's going to have to go to trial. They're going to have to like duke it out in Lebanon, but are they even going to be able to without getting the outrage of America? And again, we really should just keep it on hand. We should really keep on like the show right after October 7th, 2023, and then right after whatever it was, March 1st, 2026, because in the day after, I was doing shows going, here's what happens. Here's the set of dominoes that is set up here, arrayed for all of us to see. Let's watch as they fall down. And that's just what we've done. So even on October 9th, 2023, it was obvious that what started on October 7th would cascade into a wider regional war that would culminate with Israel trying to take out Iran, that they would not be able to take out Iran without American boots on the ground, and that Trump would not be able to politically survive putting American boots on the ground. And here we are. And here we are 3 years later almost. And it has all come to fruition. We could have avoided it all by listening to the anti-Semites. If only the anti-Semites had been listened to, we were in fact the voice of reason. The voice of reason. The only voice of reason. Everybody else out there was telling you it was anti-Semitic to say, hey, Israel, idiots, what you're doing is a suicide mission. You're making yourselves incredibly unpopular. You're not even achieving military goals. And at the end of this, you're going to have to rely on American boots on the ground. And we're all watching you shred babies every day. And we're not going to put boots on the ground for you. You're screwing yourselves over. And we got told they have a right to defend themselves. Well, but they're the chosen people, but you're not allowed to say that. It's anti-Semitic. And it's like, all right, fine. Have fun. How you doing now? How you feeling now about those decisions? I'm fine with it, honestly. I now finally, for once in my life, people feel about Israel like I always have. It's actually wonderful to see. It's actually a total breath of fresh air. I don't know if y'all remember, but it was still like 2024, like midway through 2024, I was still getting in arguments with people on the right. Trump supporters were still holding on to this idea of like, but they're our greatest ally and they're like a democracy in the Middle East. And I kind of have to go, well, I mean, you know, I think you should look into it a little bit more, actually. And finally, now everybody's on our side. Everybody gets it, except for the liars who also get it, but are in favor of what's going on. Here's the story that, again, it's just, you know, is anybody buying this? Trump says Netanyahu, quote, will do whatever I want on Iran, and he's in no hurry to make a deal. Iran is looking over the latest U.S. peace proposal, state media said. Iran says it's reviewing the latest proposal sent by the United States aimed at ending the war, with Pakistani Army Chief Field Marshal Asim Munir expected in Tehran on Thursday. Hardline Iranian general emerges as major player in peace talks with the U.S. as negotiations with the U.S. hang in the balance. A hardline Iranian general linked to notorious attacks at home and abroad over the past decades is believed to have seized a place of power a place near the center of power, is Brigadier General Ahmed Vahidi, who heads Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, has become a major player in formulating Iran's tough stance in negotiating a possible end to the war with Iran's with the United States. Experts say he's believed to be a part of a small clique in direct contact with Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei, who remains in hiding after reportedly being wounded in the February 28th Israeli strikes that killed his father. You know, the more moderate, elderly Ayatollah who had a fatwa on nuclear weapons. Remember, they killed him, put his more radical son in charge. Now the head of the IRGC apparently has assumed a position of even greater importance. And these would all be in the losing column of, you know, victories or losses that we've experienced during the Iran war, unless we intended to make Iran even more of a terrorist state, which, hey, that, you know, it works out either way for Israel, to be honest with you. If you can get a, you know, radical Muslim, you know, violent person to replace Khamenei, get somebody who's less reserved, less tactful, less strategic, you know, maybe that would be good for Israel, because you want an insane, you know, group of unreasonable people, because you want endless war, because that's how you survive. That's just the way that your country is, unfortunately. But it is. So I got a couple videos about this. I'm not sure if we have the Tucker Carlson clip number 25. Tucker Carlson went on Israeli TV and basically humiliated the guy. And it's a total masterclass of just straightforward facts, defeating the propaganda. It's really amazing stuff. And they get into all of these topics, including the brutal nature of the Israeli regime and the absurdity of Israel claiming that anywhere else is unlawful or, you know, full of terrorists. Let's go to Tucker Carlson now.
Do you generally believe Israel would try to harm you because of your opinion?
Of course, I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to be harmed.
So Israel is the most violent state in the world, even more than Iran? Are you serious?
No country has boasted more about killing its political opponents than Israel, of course, about its assassination programs. The prime minister of Israel gave a golden pager to the president of the United States. I was there. And that golden pager represented the pagers that Hezbollah leaders were killed by. Sure. Yes, Israel brags about assassinating people. And of course, it does assassinate people. Many countries assassinate people, but Israel makes a public relations campaign out of boasting about killing its opponents. Killing innocents is never acceptable, period. Under any circumstances, by any person or any nation, it's immoral. It's the thing that separates the civilized from the barbarous. It is never allowable, period, for any person to kill an innocent. You can't kill a child. The child did nothing wrong. And civilized people understand that. That's what civilized people are. That's the definition of a civilized country.
But it seems like when you speak about Israel as the most violent state in the world, you forget to mention that it is the most attacked state in the world from so many enemies, you know, like any other country in the world. So if you don't put this equation together, it seems like we are doing it for fun or that we lost our morality. This is self-defense.
Well, Israel has definitely lost its morality. There's no question about that, of course. The reason that I have cause to comment on this and to say that it's wrong is that I'm paying for it. There's no reason the United States should be sending any money at all to Israel, and particularly not to its military.
Even if
Israel
price,
has neighbors that...
Even if the price will be the annihilation of Israel? This is not your problem.
I just don't understand why the United States has an obligation to pay for any of this, to send the weapons for it, to lend its moral authority to Israel, to lend its diplomatic cover to Israel, to lend its air force and its navy and its military to Israel. I don't understand, where does this obligation come from? And no one will answer that question. And instead they say, well, you're an anti-Semite. Well, I'm not an anti-Semite.
All right.
And that's not an answer. What is the answer? And I've never received one. And I know now, because of this war, that America's relationship with Israel, while it may be based on good intentions, is hurting the United States very badly, very badly. We can't afford it. And our standing in the world has declined, and we're implicated in some of the many crimes Israel has committed. I don't think the United States owes Israel anything. I don't think the United States should give Israel anything. I think we should stop all aid to Israel, all special deals for Israel, tomorrow.
You accuse Netanyahu of dragging Trump into an unnecessary war with Iran. So let's think about
yes.
what it actually means. Do you really think that a foreign leader can pull the president of the United States into a war he didn't want?
Well, I don't think that that could happen. I saw it happen. I was there. And so that happened. So the question is why? I blame Donald Trump for folding under the pressure from Benjamin Netanyahu and his many allies in the United States. Donors to Donald Trump, people in the media class here, were effectively working on behalf of the Israeli government. And Donald Trump, whose decision it was, caved under that pressure.
If the United States would cave in to Iran terror regime that controls now also the Hormuz passway and the terror ring that it created in the Middle East, maybe it would be even worse for any citizens in the world, not only in Israel, but also in the United States. And this is exactly what Donald Trump said. So you don't believe Donald Trump?
I don't believe Donald Trump. And I also think as an Israeli, you should pause before using the phrase terror regime, since you live in a country that just murdered thousands of children in Gaza. It's a little hard to hear that from an Israeli right now, I have to say.
You're targeting only Israel and by that.
Well, of course,
means...
I'm not targeting anybody. Okay. I don't have a military. I'm a podcaster. So I don't target
yes.
people. What I'm saying is true, which is, Iran's behavior, the government of Iran's behavior, is in some cases disgusting to me and immoral. But the behavior of the Israeli government in Gaza is disgusting and immoral. And of course, Israel's not a democracy in any sense. There are millions of people who live under Israeli control who cannot vote, right? And so if the West Bank, Judea and Samaria and Gaza, or whatever we're calling these places, which Israel has controlled since 1967, have people living in them who have no control over the government that controls their lives, which is true. It's not a democracy. So let's just drop the talking points. I don't think killing children is self-defense. It never will be. Mm-hmm. And no amount of recounting the legitimate atrocities of October 7th will ever get me to accept this behavior. And Israel doesn't like to acknowledge the existence of universal principles mm-hmm. that apply to everyone equally, even
and
you.
I love that approach that Tucker Carlson's taking, because obviously the approach now from the Israeli side is to say, we represent Western civilization. It's us, the Judeo-Christian Western civilization, against the leftist and the Muslims. But as Tucker points out, there is no Western civilization that's okay with killing children. That's not a part of Western civilization. That's an abject betrayal of Western civilization. You're not on our side. We know it.
I'm so excited about